You're listening to the Fellowship on Broadway podcast from First Baptist Nashville.
I'm glad you're here today. My name is Tim Wildsmith. I'm one of the pastors here. And if I haven't had the privilege of meeting you, I would love to do that before the day's over. I'll be here after church. Would love to say hello and get to know you. Thanks for being here. Happy Easter. There's a lot of things I love about Easter, and one of them is that it's a big candy season. Have you guys ever seen one of these? The Reese's egg. The Reese's egg is a glorious thing. Would anyone like this Reese's egg? Can she have it? I'm gonna give two to the front row people here. I have two, so you have to split them between the four kids on the front row. I'll be honest with you, I had more this morning when I left the house. Reese's is a smart company because they created, this is actually, you can Google this, scientists have studied the Reese's egg and determined that the reason it's so good is because the peanut butter to chocolate ratio is higher. It's more peanut butter than normal. And so it's so good that they've realized this is a marketing ploy. So now they have Reese's pumpkins, they have Reese's Christmas trees, they have Reese's hearts for Valentine's Day. But there's this gap after Easter when they go away where they don't come back for like 6 months. And so look at this picture I found on the internet. Somebody has taken to putting them in their freezer and saving them. And Reese's has seen stuff like this, and they've started an entire marketing campaign around the Reese's egg about freezing them and saving them because they're so good. They're really smart people. I find the level of marketing that happens at Easter fascinating. Did any of you see this week the new trailer for the Star Wars movie that's coming out in December? Oh, okay. There's always a few. You know, Star Wars fans. It's called the new movie. It's coming out in December. It's the last in this new trilogy and the last in the series of nine films. It's called The Rise of Skywalker. And when I was an infant in 1983, The Return of the Jedi was released. And it was the original third movie in the original trilogy. And so I grew up with those movies. They were on all the time. I love those. The Return of the Jedi was my favorite. There was another trilogy, a prequel trilogy. We don't speak of that one. Because it had Jar Jar Binks in it. And there was something terribly wrong, but I've really enjoyed the last few years of having Star Wars in my life again. And in 2017, a movie came out called The Last Jedi. It was the one before this new one that's coming out. And I think it's past the statute of limitations on spoilers, but just in case, let's just say that an important character died in the last film. And the title of this new film teases the idea that this death may not have been final. And so the week before Easter, the makers of Star Wars released a trailer for a new film that hints at resurrection. Resurrection. For several weeks, we can take Star Wars off the screen, Blair, thanks. For several weeks, we've been focusing on some key words of Easter. And today, on Easter, of course, our word is resurrection. You see, Easter is not about Reese's eggs. As much as I'd like it to be. It's not about bunnies. It's not about baskets. It's not about brunch. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. We've sung about it. We've read scripture. And in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus is talked about as the climax of all of human history. After being arrested, after being beaten, Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to a cross, and he died. They buried his body in a tomb. And on the third day, his friends went to visit his tomb, and it was empty. Resurrection. The central event in human history is that this guy who was dead is not dead anymore. He came back to life. And so I want to explore resurrection today, but I don't want to look at one of these texts that talks about Jesus' death. I want to look at a different text where in Jesus' ministry, he talked about resurrection and he said some things about it that I think are very important. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 11. And the setup here is that Jesus was doing some ministry and he got word that his friend Lazarus was sick and that it didn't look good. And Jesus said, okay, we'll head there next. But he hinted that they weren't going to leave right away because this was for his glory. And people didn't really understand that. But eventually, Jesus arrives in Bethany, and that's where we pick up the story here in John 11, verses 17 through 27. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. John 11, 17 through 27. It's a fascinating conversation between Jesus and Martha, isn't it? She hears that he's come to town after her brother has died, and she runs to the edge of town. She leaves the funeral wake behind. She says to Jesus, if only you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Martha looks back and says, if only. Do you ever have that moment with God? You say, Lord, if only this would have happened, or if only it would have gone this way, or if only I would have done this, or if only you would have done this for me, then everything would be all right. Now, if only. I think I act like Martha a lot in my life. I think Jesus is standing in front of me, and I'm too busy looking back on things that are already done, saying, what if? But Jesus looks forward. He says to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha's response is very appropriate for a faithful Jew of her day. She says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She's quoting scripture. She's talking about what the Old Testament says about what's going to happen at the end of time. A verse like Daniel 12, 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So this and other key Old Testament passages drove the Jewish belief that God was making all things new, that he was going to restore all of creation. And when that happened, at the end of time, God's people from past generations would be physically raised from the dead. They would be resurrected and given new bodies in this new creation that the scriptures talked about. And so when you think about it, Martha thinks that Jesus is being that guy. You know the guy I'm talking about? The one who walks up to you at a funeral and says something cheesy and spiritual to try to make you feel better, even though someone just died? She's like, oh, okay, here we go. She says, yeah, Jesus, I know what the scriptures say. He's going to rise again. But that's not what Jesus was doing. And the next phrase is such a huge phrase in the scope of the Bible and in the scope of human history, because Jesus turns everything around. He says, Martha, I know I'm teaching you something new. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha looks back. Jesus looks forward. But then he brings it all together in the present. In this statement, Jesus is saying to Martha, you believe that there is a resurrection, a great and glorious day that is coming at the end of the age when all believers will be raised in bodily form from the grave. And you're right, Martha, but here's the mystery. I am the arrival of that day. Jesus is saying in this one statement that the future has burst into the present through him. The future has burst into the present. Resurrection is not just a theological idea. It's not just something that's happening in the future. It is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Martha looks back and says, if only you had been here, Lord. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, I'm not done yet. I am the resurrection and the life. I think what Jesus is inviting Martha to do in this moment is to exchange looking back for looking forward. He's inviting her to exchange if only for if Jesus. Instead of, if only it had gone this way, everything would be okay. We say, no, if Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the resurrection, and the life. If Jesus, then the possibilities are endless. Everything has changed. Sorrow is exchanged for joy. Despair turns into hope, and death is life. What does Jesus, he explains this a little bit, and then he asks Martha a simple question, right? Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Do you believe this? She gives him the right answer. She says yes. But Martha just doesn't say yes, does she? It's more than yes. It is a full-fledged confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Such a strong statement of belief in Jesus that you've heard it this morning already. Martha's statement here in John chapter 11 echoes across time and space into our very own baptismal waters in the words of the people this morning who said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Martha says, yes, Jesus, I believe this. You are Lord and you are Savior. Do you believe this? I think Jesus asked the question to Martha, and I think he's asking the question to us. Do you believe this? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe this? I want to ask you another question this morning, and I want you to take a moment to think about it. And it's just a simple question. Why are you a Christian? Some of you, it's Easter, there's a lot of people at church. Some of you probably aren't Christians, and that's okay. I'm glad you're here. Maybe right now you can think about why you're not. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. And unfortunately, some of them are, the reason you're not a Christian is because of Christians. I'm sorry about that. Maybe you can ask why you think the people that you know in your lives who are Christians are. For those of you who are Christians, why are you a Christian? How would you sum that up in a sentence or two? I think from a surface level, I've thought about this a lot this week. I think from a surface level, there's just this reality that a lot of us are Christians because we were born into it. We're from a Christian family. You're here because your parents brought you here, and you're a Christian because, and it says, a lot of us are Christians because we have a culture of Christianity, and it's just something that kind of gets into us, and it's just who we are. It's who we are. We're Christians. And then there's like the next layer of it, which is a deeper theological level of why we believe in Christ. And you would say, well, I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus. I believe that he's Lord and Savior, like Martha said. At some point along our journeys, we are Christians because we made a decision to become Christ followers. We made a decision to give our lives to Christ. And here's where I'm going with this. I think a lot of that is tied up in the cross. We imagine the cross. We say phrases like, I'm a Christian because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that, right? And I think the cross is so important. The cross is so important because it leads us to big words like atonement and justification, which simply mean that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that's what the cross represents. The cross represents God's willingness to sacrifice his own son for our sins. The cross. The cross has become so important that we've hung it on the walls of our buildings and in our worship spaces. We've put it atop the steeples on our churches. We wear it around our necks. I have it tattooed on my body in two different places. And here's what I want to say. And just go with me here for a second. I think it's possible that when we think about what it means to be a Christian, We sometimes get so focused on the cross that we forget about the empty grave. And don't accuse me of heresy. I'm not saying that we need to lower our view of the cross. I'm saying that we need to elevate our view of the resurrection. Is that fair? We don't need to lower our view of the cross. We need to elevate our view of the empty tomb. We need to elevate our view of the resurrection. What did Romans 10:9 just say? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that what? That God raised him from the dead. It's in there. That's part of it. That's part of the equation. You will be saved. That's from Apostle Paul. And he wrote his biggest discourse in the New Testament on resurrection is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 14, he said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. The resurrection is pivotal. It is the hinge point of our faith, what Paul says. 3 verses later, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So the power of the cross, to Jesus dying for us for our sins, it doesn't mean anything without the resurrection. The power of the cross is lost unless Jesus rose from the dead. And so in this text, Jesus looks at Martha and what does he say? I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and life. Let's not forget about life. What does that mean? I am the resurrection and the life. It means this, and please don't miss this. Resurrection is not just the absence of death. It is the presence of life. Resurrection is not just the absence of death. It is the presence of life. It's not that he's just not dead anymore. It's that he's alive and that he is life and that we are offered new life in him through his resurrection. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I don't think he was just talking about eternal life after we die. I think he was talking about abundant life right here and right now, a life of meaning and purpose and power through Jesus Christ. He is the source of life. He is the resurrection and the life. And this new life that he's talking about is what resurrection leads to. So the beauty of Easter is that the tomb, the empty tomb, could not have happened without the cross. And the cross would have been meaningless without the empty tomb. It's not one or the other. It's both and. And we need to think about both and when we think about what it means to follow Jesus. The cross is a symbol of what God was willing to do for us. The love that he had for us, the great love that he had for us. That's what the cross is a symbol of. It's a symbol, though, of death. And we have to press into that. We have to reconcile that. We have to be able to go willingly go to that dark place that someone died for us. It's real and it's heavy, but my friends, he did not stay dead. The empty tomb, as the cross is a symbol of death, the empty tomb is a symbol of life, new life. Jesus defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave, and he defeated it for all time. That's good news, amen? Amen. We don't have faith in some dude who died on a cross and stayed dead. New life, resurrection. And through faith in him, the kind of faith that caused Martha to say, yes, I believe that you are the Lord and Savior, the Son of God. It's through that kind of faith that we are invited to share in the new life that Jesus unleashed when he rose from the grave. We are invited to new life in Christ. Again, it's right there in what we say when we baptize someone. Romans 6:4. We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in the newness of life. Baptism is simply saying, I am with Christ in his death, but I'm also with Christ in his resurrection. New life is what we are called to. It's a new life where it says, I'm no longer looking back. I'm looking forward, and everything in front of me is Jesus. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And so, my friends, this morning, the invitation is not from me. It's from Jesus himself. Do you believe this? Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. He is the resurrection and the life. And we are invited to say yes. Do you believe this? Will you choose life? I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. I just want to say that again, and I want you to ask yourself this. Do you believe this? If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, I believe he's inviting you to follow him and to trust him. He lived and he died and he rose from the grave and he did it for us, that we could be made right with God, that we could have new life in him. If you want that new life today, would you say yes to Jesus? Right now, where you're at, would you say, Jesus, yes, I believe. Say to him, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you this morning, if you've prayed that with me, we're not going to get weird, but would you just be willing to look up at me and raise your hand and say yes? I choose Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? For those of you who chose a long time ago to follow Jesus, this is my encouragement to you. Choose him again right now. Continue to say yes to Jesus every day of your life. He wants to give you new life in the power of his resurrection. When you think about why you're a Christian, think about the cross, but don't just think about the cross. Think about the empty tomb and know that he wants to give you abundant life. Jesus, for these hearts who have chosen you and said yes to you, would you come alongside them? Would you use us as a body, God, to encourage them? And Lord, would you make us a people who choose to say yes to you every single day, over and over and over again, to follow you as Lord, as Savior, as teacher. And Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for dying for us, but thank you for living again for us. You are Lord and you are Savior.
Fellowship on Broadway is a worship service at First Baptist Church in downtown Nashville, and we'd love for you to join us on Sundays.